everybody. Welcome back to the Covert Report with Susan Lindauer, live on this beautiful spring February day. At the end of February, I cannot believe the beautiful weather that we're having. It feels like May already. It's like the sun is shining on Washington, D.C. I don't know. We're joined today by Joe Calhoun, whose moniker you may know is JC Proletariat, and he is coming to us from Colorado, from high in the mountains of Colorado. But he is an anti-war activist, a humanitarian activist who travels all over the world and all over the United States, and he has spent a lot of time in front of Trump Tower, and he won an Academy Award for a documentary on the Panama invasion, the takedown of Noriega, and the whole CIA machinations behind that. Today, we're going to talk. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I have to correct you a little bit. I worked on the film that won the Academy Award. I was near the Oscar ceremonies that night, but I wasn't the one that received the Academy Award. It was Barbara Trent and David Casper, the producer and director of the writer of the films.
Okay. But you were part of the team.
I worked a lot on the film. My name was on the credits.
Excellent. Okay. Well, that's good. Thanks for that clarification. Because
and I got to hold the Oscar, so.
Today is Oscar night, so I guess that's a good thing. That's actually a good way to launch into this show, because we have seen Hollywood become so savage.
Talk about that.
That's a good way to start into this thing. How has this changed over time?
There's kind of some karmic convergence, because the first time I got really paid as a speaker was in 2004 in San Francisco at a 911 conference, and my subject was the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center, and this is the anniversary of that.
Let's not go into that.
We won't go into that. But that's okay.
But I want to talk about Hollywood. I want to talk about Hollywood.
Hollywood is a cesspool. It's only after World War II, you know. It became a conduit of propaganda, you know, with various films. I don't want to go through the whole history, but there's one film I can't find, and you have to special order it. It was a film called Our Son John. And, of course, this was during the McCarthy period of intimidating writers and people as alleged communists. Well, this is what's going on today. But for just a brief history, it was a film about some guy going to college and becoming a communist, and his parents were upset with him. And but you can't find that film on the internet. You can find
it's something kind of obscure. But let's talk about that. There's a lot that's not obscure. Sorry about that, Joe. Did you keep talking?
Oh no, I did. I didn't know.
Keep going.
We can talk about Meryl Streep. We can talk about these people.
Okay. Here's the thing. I'm sorry. We were just interrupted, everybody, by a knock on the door from an activist trying to raise money against Donald Trump. Okay. So I shut the door on his face. I said, I'm on the radio. So anyway, back to Hollywood. Let's talk about Hollywood and the current Hollywood, okay? What I'm interested in is not what happened like 50 years ago, but what's current right now. And the whole meme of, you know, Hollywood bashing, they call him a fascist, they call him a dictator, they say he's against free speech. It's make-believe. We're living in a make-believe world right now.
Yeah, and almost the cartoon world, you know. These Hollywood activists have a cartoon background as far as their knowledge of current events. The latest thing, as we speak now, and I think this was just released this week, is a movie called Bitter Harvest. and it's an anti-Stalin film supporting the Ukraine uprising or the thing that happened in Ukraine in 1932, called the Holodomor, where there was an uprising against Stalin because Stalin was enforcing collectivization of the farms. Okay. Now, so reading to this, it's an anti-Putin Trump film. That's going to be the drift. That's going to be the reason they're putting this out, is to show how bad Russia was 80 or more years ago.
80, 90 years ago.
under Stalin. 80 or more years ago, and how horrible it is that Trump dares speak to not a Soviet leader, but a Russian leader. You know, Joseph Stalin was the head of the USSR, which no longer exists. Putin is the head of Russia.
And hasn't existed since in 30 years.
In 30 years, right. So this is a propaganda film.
And the Ukrainians
were
pretty bad. And
the subliminal message is see how bad Russia is, and we need to bring down Trump, you know. That's the underlying, you know.
Of course.
That's what you're going to get
out
of this film.
Yeah. Of course. Well, you know, it really makes you not want to watch the Oscars. I mean, it's like I find that it's just so, there's so much poison and there's so much vitriol and hatefulness that the divisiveness, they think they're calling people to their, I mean, they're marketing themselves. It's a marketing gimmick. I guess they know that they're not receiving viewers from the older audiences. Is this what's happened? That you know, that they only very few people seem to even go to the movies anymore.
Well, I'll tell you something. These Hollywood people, after Trump won the election on November 8th, the big thing was boycott the inauguration. Then there was a feeler put out, I think, by Robert Reich. I think it was Robert Reich, that they have a massive counter-inauguration event at the very same time as the inauguration in Miami with all these Hollywood stars. They were going to bring in Elton John. They were going to bring in Beyonce. They were going to bring Jay-Z. They were going to bring in all these stars, and it petered out. It didn't happen. And not only are these Hollywood-type people, but they're also, Beyonce and Jay-Z are connected to the Podesta emails, in the sense that they are connected to this woman called Marina Abramovic, who is a Satanist.
Okay. Yeah, but let's talk about Trump. Okay, let's talk about this Trump thing because I apologize.
You're
You're digressing. I want to come back to Hollywood and the Meryl Streep attacks on Trump. Not the Satanists, not the Beyonce, you know, or Beyonce has also been very negative towards Trump. But I want to talk about the rise of fascism here.
Oh, yeah. This is what, how did someone coin it? I'm trying to remember because I was talking on a program this is left-wing Nazism, you know, what they did in Berkeley, California. Was like what the brown shirts in Nazi Germany did in attacking dissent or attacking someone making a public speech. They went out with their clubs, and the police were told to stand down by the mayor of Berkeley and let these black bloc, mostly white, and I had mostly white millennials who live in their parents' basement go out and put on masks and beat up supporters of Donald Trump.
Ah, that is it. And they come out with their faces covered in like, so that you can't see them, so that they're prepared. They're out beating people up. It's become a violent of an acts of violence. It's as we are all seeing.
And who are they financed by? You know, it's no secret anymore. It's by George Soros. And if I'm sure your audience knows the background of George Soros, he was a Nazi collaborator. He shouldn't have even been allowed to immigrate to this country. He should be deported as a Nazi war criminal.
Well, he's not living in the United States, is he? He lives in Europe.
Well, he has a mansion in... I'm trying to remember the
probably
state.
New York.
I think it's Maryland, actually.
Maryland?
But it's, or Massachusetts. But it's on the East Coast, near the East Coast. And so he does reside here. He has residence here. But I don't know if he's actually a citizen. If he's not, one of the things I would demand, I would go to these town hall meetings, and I would demand that Trump deport George Soros. I would go to these town hall meetings and demand that Trump live up to his promise, his campaign promise, to put Hillary Clinton in jail for war crimes and treason.
Yeah, now this is closer to where I want the show to go today. Mm-hmm. We have the Democrats and who are the Meryl Streep, they're throwing out violent language, you know, vile, specious language of, you know, he's a dictator, he's a fascist, and they're using violence to censor opinion and to intimidate people, trying to make people stop talking and stop engaging in conversations. And that's why I feel that it's so necessary to keep reminding everybody, this is the face of fascism. Having a conversation and disagreeing with someone does not make you a fascist. You know, violently attacking them, using violence, acts of physical violence to intimidate and coerce censorship, that is fascism.
And
the Democrats, that is fascism. And it's what they are doing right now.
Also, this so-called, what Donald Trump said was that the fake news media is the enemy of the people. He didn't say the free press. You know,
yeah.
The news media we have, and you can go back to the church hearings in 1977, is bought and paid for largely by the CIA. You can look it up. Anyone who's listening can look it up and Google it. Google Operation Mockingbird. You know, and I sent out a YouTube video on Twitter, talking about Operation Mockingbird, and it included a clip with Senator Frank Church from Idaho or Utah, I think it is, and the former director of the CIA, William Colby, who mysteriously died when he went out on a boat going fishing. And Colby confirmed that the CIA has infiltrated the media. This is back in 1977. So Donald Trump is not talking about the free press. This is the free press. Truth Frequency Radio is the free press, and they're trying, as we speak, Google is on a campaign. They are scrubbing videos, as we speak right now, from the Internet. And one of their victims is right now is David Seaman, who has had all his videos about pedophilia scrubbed. His Twitter account is gone. His YouTube channel is gone. Right now as we speak. And this happened within the last 48 to 24 hours. They're attacking Alex Jones. Google will no longer carry advertisements of his products. And this is happening right now. This is fascism. This is
Yes. This
is shutting down the free press. And meanwhile, they're trying to say that Donald Trump is trying to shut down the free press. No, Donald Trump is attacking the propaganda press. The propaganda press that is owned by corporations, that is owned by major corporations. I'm trying to remember. I remember that William Casey owned stock in ABC News. NBC News is, I'm trying to remember who they're, I think General Electric owns NBC News. All the major defense contractors own and operate the major news media, along with the CIA. And this is a CIA coup against Donald Trump, as we speak right now. And who's supporting it? Michael Moore. Michael Moore is supporting it.
Fascism, wild fascism, wild, wild fascism.
Yes.
I can't even believe how they're rationalizing it. I mean, it's so crazy. They're so off the deep end. They're so far gone.
Well,
and their
behavior is using they're neo-McCarthyites. It's Russia. Russia is behind it. I mean, what? I mean, I couldn't even believe even Bernie Sanders has come on board with that. And one of the Bernie delegates, and she's on, she has a podcast. I usually go to her Facebook. It's called Sane Progressive. She's called Sane Progressive. Her name is Debbie Luthegan, if I pronounce her last name right. She was a Bernie delegate. I have her on videotape. I met her at the DNC, at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. And she is the most, articulates the best argument against Michael Moore and Bernie Sanders now. Her last, I think, presentation just absolutely condemned Bernie Sanders as betraying his following by coming on board with this, the Russians hacked the election with Donald Trump. I mean,
it's wild.
Everything is upside down now. I don't even know if I'm in the right universe sometimes when I wake up.
Yeah.
It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
It is like a Twilight Zone episode,
because
yeah.
A lot of these people I respected. I used to respect Michael Moore and Noam Chomsky and Amy Goodman, but they have turned into absolute propaganda monsters for the new neo-McCarthyism that is going on.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's neo, and it's the and it again, but it's Hollywood that pretends to be the victim, and Hollywood that commits the crimes, and again, this is Oscar night, people, and I gotta tell you, does anybody really want to watch this on television? I mean, it's like they ruin their own moment of the one time when we might actually pay attention to what they have to say. To celebrate whatever they've done, whatever they think they've done, and over the year, and whatever movies, but they haven't made great movies in a long time. What have they done that's really outstanding?
The Panama Deception.
No, I'm talking about like in the past year. What have they done in the past year?
In the past, well, no, I guess La Land is supposed to win the Oscars tonight. I've never seen it.
I've never seen it. I've never heard about it.
I would say, what is it? The movie I always watch is Glory, about the Black Regiment.
Okay, but that was 20 years ago.
That was a good movie.
That's a 20-year-old movie. That's a 20-year-old movie.
Network.
Okay, but these are 30-year-old movies. These are 20, 30-year-old movies. What have they done lately? This is the game. What have they done lately? Not much. Not much. They haven't
done it. I can't remember actually.
See, but that's the key. Not much. You can't remember. I can't remember. There's a movie called Arrival. That's supposed to be good, I guess. You know, but I don't know if that's with Jodie Foster. I haven't even seen it yet. It's about.
Well, I saw.
And I don't want this to disintegrate. My point is made. Okay, my point is made. I don't want this to disintegrate into a conversation about movie reviews. But the point is that Hollywood does not have current achievements which would elevate their opinions to something that the American people should care about. They haven't done anything. What has Meryl Streep done lately? Nothing.
Oh, Meryl Streep. Look at her speech at the Democratic National Convention praising Hillary Clinton. What did she call it? Something about experience and grit, you know? And you look at her persona there at the Democratic National Convention, and you can almost see a Nazi, you know, I almost visualize a Nazi armband on her.
It is like a Nazi armband.
She looked like Eva Braun, you know, making a speech endorsing Hillary Clinton, and her grit to overthrow an African government and execute its leader, the grit of her organizing death squads in Syria to overthrow, get regime change in Syria. You know, that's the grit she was talking about.
This is it. It is the bloodthirsty Democrat Party, the bloodlust of, you know, it's like, I think of millennials, and for all of you millennials out there who are listening to this, you know, this is how you guys come across. Really. Vampires.
Well, no, hold on.
Blood-sucking culture.
Some millennials, or a lot of millennials, that don't bother to research history. Yes. But the millennials and
they're
the blacks
too young to
and the Latinos
history.
I meant.
When we were young, we didn't research history either.
Some of us
did.
That's
part of being charming young people, being passionate about our values, but really not knowing that much.
But the millennials, and you can see that. I sent you an email with a link to it. I had an interaction with James O'Keefe at the Democratic National Convention. James O'Keefe caught me on camera.
Okay. What happened? Yeah.
Well, he pretended to be, him and a cadre of his staff pretended to be Hillary supporters, and they went among the Bernie or bust people. And he got an earful from them, and he actually got his sign torn away and thrown on the ground by a millennial that was against Hillary Clinton. So the millennials, the Bernie or bust millennials, they're the ones. See, it wasn't Russia that took the election
they're
away
the ones,
from
finish
Hillary
that
Clinton.
Thought. Finish that thought. They're the ones who.
They're the ones who, with the blacks for Bernie, changed their name to Blacks for Trump. And in Wisconsin, the three states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. In Wisconsin, for example, all the counties that voted for Obama in 2008 that switched to Trump, the 22 counties, were the same very same 22 counties that voted for Bernie Sanders against Hillary Clinton. It wasn't the Russians that took the election away from Hillary. It was the Bernie supporters that did. Because they were willing to risk 4 years of a Republican administration to stop Hillary Clinton.
Well, I think it was interesting at CPAC. Trump pointed out that he has a lot of Bernie supporters and that he's going to do a lot of things that Bernie supporters are going to like.
Well,
he's for jobs. He's for better trade deals. He's not supporting these wars, and I think that, you know, we're kind of dancing around a lot of things, but Trump is not supporting these wars, and I'll tell you, in the Washington Post today, he is castigated, excoriated for opposing the takedown of Saddam Hussein. Trump is savagely attacked for his ignorance and naivete, and it shows that he is not worthy to be a leader of the United States because he doesn't understand why this was a noble mission that had to be achieved. You know,
breaking news, Trump has barred the Syrian who's been nominated for an Oscar-nominated film about the White Hats, the CIA-backed White Hats in Syria. These are people who allegedly rescue people from bombings in Aleppo by the Russians. And time after time again, you can go to YouTube, you can see that a lot of these scenes are crisis actors. They're phony.
Yes.
They're fake. They're being staged. He's rescued.
Yes.
The other thing is one of the main...
Sorry, everybody. We're coming up on the break. This is the Covert Report. We had our talk about Hollywood. Oscar night is over. We will be back.
Gotta leave town. Got another appointment.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Covert Report. We're talking about Oscar night. and the whole Hollywood vitriol against Trump. There's a big movement right now to create lots of movies. The American Horror Story is going to produce a season on the Trump campaign as a terrifying event that has swept over America, and reality has become an American Horror Story. And right before the break, we were hearing from Joe Calhoun about Hollywood's the White Helmets movie. Talk about that, JC.
Well, the White Helmets have been identified. The videographer who has been seen, you know, talking about the White Helmets. He does the videotapes for them, showing them rescuing children from, rubble and things like this. A lot of these scenes are staged, you know, by crisis actors. And they practice how to remain still and look like they're, passed out or something. And they have a lot of YouTube videos about exposing the fraud of the White Helmets.
The people in Syria, and here's the thing, Syria has been kept incommunicado because of the violence, and you really cannot get in there to get the Syrian perspectives on things. But what the Syrian people have said is that they don't even know who these White Helmets are. They're like, really? There's somebody out there who's helping us? We've never seen them. We don't know who they. We don't know what you're talking about.
Well, they actually do get correspondence in there. Russia Today goes in Aleppo, but NBC News, no Americans actually go in there. NBC News talked about what was happening in Aleppo, and they go to the correspondent in Lebanon or Turkey to talk about what's happening in Syria. They don't go on the ground like Russia Today. The other thing is the videographer, and this is very important, that videotaped these rescues by the White Helmets is the same videographer that did videotapes for ISIS in the beheadings of children.
Oh,
the
my
very same
God.
Person.
Oh, my God.
And happy news from the BBC, for me at least, is that this guy, this 21-year-old filmmaker, the Syrian, Khaled Khatib, has been barred from coming to the United States to the Oscars. Good.
Good. Good.
We don't need another CIA stooge coming to get an Oscar for a movie for the CIA in Hollywood to promote us to go to war with Ukraine, with Russia, and Syria.
That's
your
sick.
Harvest is to promote the narrative that we need to defend the Nazis in Ukraine. And this movie about White Helmets is that we have to impose a so-called no-fly zone over Syria to go to war with Syria and Russia. And so I'm saying good. I'm glad the Trump administration has barred this agent of the CIA.
We're also hearing that Trump has, again, we're hearing this through the alternative media, because the corporate media has really let us down and is not telling us. They're so busy spewing hatred and vitriol against Trump that it's very difficult to get it's very difficult to read their stories to begin with, even to find out a sliver of fact in the articles. So I can't even read the Washington Post anymore, to be perfectly honest with you. But even though it's my hometown newspaper, and I cannot read the New York Times. I haven't read the New York Times in years. So those two sources of media, they've really burned their bridges. But apparently Donald Trump has cut off the funding. One of his first acts, we believe, I'm not sure when he did it, he ordered that there would be no more funding for U.S. funding for the Islamic radicals the quote moderate Islamic radical rebels in Syria, because we're not going to try to distinguish, you know, how radical, you know, what your degree of radicalism is, what your degree of moderation is. We're just not going to give you any money. That's over. And so the reason this came out was that in the Washington Post, the one thing I did catch was that the Syrian rebels have been complaining to John McCain that now they don't have any money because mean Mr. Trump is so mean. He took away all our money, so we can't kill any of the Syrian people anymore. And if we don't get money soon, we're going to have to join ISIS. So you better give us money or else we're going to join ISIS.
We're going to have to join ISIS. Sorry, folks. They were waving ISIS flags. And this was when actually Obama refused to give them any money, was cutting them short of money, you know. And this happened in October 9, 2015, when Obama had the meeting with Putin in New York City during the United Nations plenary session. And Obama decided to let Russia into Syria to confront ISIS. Well, what happened was the so-called moderate rebels were embittered by this, and you can see them in their demonstrations waving ISIS flags. So it's not a threat that they're going to join ISIS. They are ISIS. They are Al Qaeda.
Oh yes.
It's not even in the chat room, there
is a photograph of the men who you're talking about, that the guys who the videographer for ISIS, who's also involved with the white helmets, and it is where they are carrying a 12-year-old child to get beheaded, carrying a 12-year-old boy on his by men who are surrounding him and laughing, and they're making videos of it, and they cut his head off, and he's terrified out of his mind and having this. I mean, it has to be the most awful, horrific death to murder a child that way. It's just sickening. Yeah. Sickening. And these John McCain, Meryl Streep people are going to be out tonight saying, if only the white helmets were here, but Donald Trump supports.
Oh, that's fascist, why I'm going to make a point of watching,
and it's not
the
fair that we can't have him here tonight, because we're dedicating our show to the man who beheads 12-year-olds.
Yes.
To the man who beheads 12-year-olds.
Now, it's not this guy that they barred, but the videographer that filmed that poster child, remember the kid that was covered in soot and everything.
But he also is there's a picture of him at the point where the 12-year-old boy is being beheaded, and his picture appears in that scene with all those people in that crowd.
Right.
He's there at that event too. I don't know if he's videographing it, but he is. But everybody else is videographing it, and they're all like, "Yeah, we're gonna get him. He's this 12-year-old kid. We're real men because we're beheading 12-year-olds."
Yeah,
I mean, it's scary. The man who you're talking about appears in this crowd of the people who are beheading the 12-year-old.
You're going to have to send me that link. I'm going to see that.
It's in our chat room.
I need to be on Twitter tonight during the Oscar ceremony. Tweeting this out.
Yeah, good.
And guess who defends this guy? This
Meryl
movie maker
Streep.
that was barred? Michael Moore. Michael Moore goes to the Trump residence at Trump Towers with signs saying we're all Muslims. Now, these people are not Muslims. ISIS is not really Muslims. They're Satanists. They are frauds. A lot of the people that joined ISIS from the West, this is actually a fact, you can Google this. They bought Islam for Dummies. They actually bought the book and joined ISIS. One of the first casualties of an American in Syria who was in ISIS was named Douglas MacArthur McCain, you know?
Oh, God.
Imagine that.
Douglas
McCain. Well, McCain not only meant, he meant with the founder of ISIS. His name just escapes me. Baghdadi. Ibrahim Baghdadi. He met with them. He went over the head of Barack Obama in 2013, went into Syria and met with, ISIS hadn't been formed yet. He met with Ibrahim Baghdadi, who became the head of ISIS. He also met with the rebel leader, the rebel commander, who cut open the body of a dead Syrian soldier and ate his heart on video. These are the people that Meryl Streep and Michael Moore support. You know? And so
I just sent you the photographs of and it's a beautiful color. I mean, my chat room, my thanks to you guys, because that beautiful is it's horrific, a horrific collage of these but you can see their faces, they're laughing, they're smiling. Yeah. Just and it's sick. It is sick, sick, sick that they are carrying a tiny child. And they say he's 12 years old, but he looks 7 or 8. He looks like a tiny little boy, like a 7 or 8 year old. And then it looks more like they said that he was 12, but that he was actually much younger. And then afterwards, somebody sober said, yeah, we don't want to tell anybody we beheaded an 8 year old. Oh my God, what have you done? You know, you got swept up in the moment. You killed an 8 year old child. It looks like a 7 or 8 year old child. So it'll break your heart. Put that out on everybody. Put that out on Oscar night.
On Oscar
this
night.
Is the white. You know, this is Michael Moore's buddy. You better believe they're going to be talking about. We have suffered censorship because Donald Trump won't allow the videographer who kills children. Oh, he beheads children. You know, this is what they. This is the people they're defending. This is.
Well,
this
I want to be careful because I don't know if this is exactly the same person. This came out when they first had that poster child, you know, that was sitting in the seat and he was all covered with soot.
Yeah.
There's a videographer that filmed that, you know, to get out on the internet. What, 2 months ago, 3 months ago? That videographer was also shown filming the beheading by ISIS of a young child. But I don't know if the person that's been barred from the Oscars tonight is the same person. If he is, that would be astonishing.
Okay, well, you're going to be able to look at these faces and see it. So you're going to be able to – this collage is brilliant. You're going to be able to look them straight in the eye and you're going to be able to compare them and see. And I want you to let me know because it is just sickening. It is just absolutely grotesque. And I say to Meryl, you know, they ought to lock Meryl Streep up for this. She, you know, we need to – see, here's what I'm thinking about the Donald Trump meme and this Hollywood thing. We have got to be – we're capable of doing this. We were all hoping – I have to tell you, I was hoping, guys, that we were going to have the election and the campaign was so ugly and so vicious and we could just – it would be over, and now we would go on with business, and you know, government would go to work, and we could all just spend our time. You know, on occasion we'd like what Trump does, or we wouldn't like what Trump does, and we'd agree sometimes, and we'd disagree other times, because that's what happens in real life. You don't always agree with somebody, but but there's no hatefulness necessary. It doesn't have to be a malicious thing that you have to deal with every day. But the crazy stuff that they're pulling right now, the Democrats are bloodlust. It is drinking the blood of our children, literally. And something like this just will make you. I'm looking at it right now. I'm just so enraged. I can't even tell you, as you can hear from my voice. We're going to have to be organized, and we're going to have to stand up to these people, and we're going to have to carry this, even though until they stop. Because, you know, Meryl Streep, if she was really the woman she thinks she is, then she should be horrified by this. She should be saying, oh my God, I really defended a man who slaughters children, who actually beheads children. I did this. She should do some soul searching. But what we're seeing is the neo-McCarthyism.
These moderates, you know. And I remember Amy Goodman. We kind of outed Amy Goodman in 2013 because she shared the stage with Robert Ford, the architect of the death squads in Syria. He was the former U.S. ambassador to Syria. His mentor was John Negroponte, who was the architect of the death squads in El Salvador and Nicaragua. And Robert Ford spoke at an amnesty conference in 2012, and guess who shared the stage with Robert Ford?
But who?
Amy Goodman.
Amy Goodman, and wasn't it Samantha Power?
Well, not at this conference.
Okay, but Amy Goodman and Robert Ford at an Amnesty International. Now, here's a man who supports death squads, and Amnesty International is backing him. I mean, what we're seeing is a twisted, and this has been going on for a while, a twisted, convoluted left that is barbaric, that is every bit as bloodthirsty as the old Republican neocons. And they want war. They want it. And they're not going to give up until they could have more war, more blood. They didn't get enough. They're not satiated by Libya. They're not satiated by the catastrophe of Syria. They dare to pretend that they are humanitarian because they're like, we want to bomb your societies, and then our military industrial complex can feed profits to Lockheed Martin, and then we'll have jobs in America. But then you can come live in America. You can come live. I mean, what sickos. What crazy sickos that they want to bomb their societies, destroy their communities. But don't worry, we're going to bomb your school and the shopping market where you go, and we're going to bomb your home and your hospitals. We're going to destroy everything, your little neighborhood restaurant, your little neighborhood store. Everything you know in this world is going to be gone. But don't worry, because you can come to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Come
and
to
then,
America and come
then
to Disneyland.
To go back here, to backtrack a little bit, the immigrants that the CIA vetted, these were CIA vetted immigrants in 1993, and were trained by the CIA in the Afghan War to go against the Soviet Union, the invasion by the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. These very vetted CIA immigrants were the very same people who bombed the World Trade Center.
Okay, I don't want to go off on the World Trade Center. That's from 1993. That's like 25 years ago. It doesn't matter. That's old. That's old. There's a lot right now that is going on that matters, too. Okay, so let's focus on this.
What's his name? Abdul Rahman died just this week.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he was involved. Abdurrahman, everybody, was involved in a mission to assassinate Hosni Mubarak.
Yes.
So I don't want to go off on that. Yeah. We have the tragedy is that the United States had a vision of Islamic radicalism, which we then created, then financed, we built it, and we manufactured it. And it is the same lunatics right now who I'd rather, much rather talk about Mike Flynn, to be honest with
okay.
you. So let's pull forward to Mike Flynn.
Dovetail on that a little bit. The term radical Islam was invented by Mika Brzezinski's father, Zbigniew Brzezinski, in 1979.
Well, I think Islamic radicalism is a good one. I think it's totally valid.
Is a CIA invention.
I don't care. It is a real fundamental fact of life. It is. I don't care if the CIA invented the term. It's a term that fits. It's appropriate. And I say that as somebody who worked in anti-terrorism. I don't care. It is a term that fits what I know as somebody who worked in anti-terrorism. Islamic radicalism is a real phenomena. It absolutely is. And the thing is, it's Islamic radicalism in Saudi Arabia. That's the difference, is it's like we try to say that it's only in a place like Libya. In fact, Libya was terrified of Islamic radicals and tried to suppress them. Saddam Hussein and Iraq tried to suppress them.
That's what I'm saying. It was imported to Libya by the CIA.
No, it wasn't. It was there in itself. But it was a minor thing that the CIA then grabbed and accentuated and tried to empower, because they were trying to find a way to overthrow places like Libya. But it ended up being something that, but it is real. It is, and I absolutely dispute anybody who wants to say Islamic radicalism is not real. It is a real, very scary, and it has been, you know, and unfortunately we, once again, John McCain, like John McCain was so adamant about starting the Iraq War, and Saddam Hussein's people used to say, if you do that, you're going to fire up Iran. All the Islamic radicals that we have been suppressing, all of those people will come out of hiding and they will be empowered, and they will be a movement. And the democracy that you seek will not put moderates into power. It will put the Islamic radicals into power. And they had been suppressed, and now they're out in force. So it is absolutely real.
Yes, it's a very small minority.
It is not a small minority. It's a huge, it is the majority. And it's become more and more empowered and more vocal. And it's not small. It used to be small, but it is not anymore. But I really want to talk about Flynn. I don't want to talk, you're talking about, you know, something happened 25 years ago. I don't want to talk about that.
I can send you a copy. Because ABC News did a very good job on identifying who these people were.
I don't care. I know. I'm sure. But right now, let's talk about Mike Flynn. Because we have a situation today where we don't need to go back 25 years. We have a situation right now at this very moment where the radical Islam, and that is the word we need to use, radical Islam, is on the move, and it's being fired up again by the CIA. There's a historic trend of doing this, but we don't have to go back 25 years to find the example. We can look for it right now. And it is scary, and it should scare the heck out of everybody, because they want World War III. And they are, you know, for reasons that are just defy any humanitarian impulse. It's how these little Soros clones, these little Soros millennials, are out there on the street violently championing war that will create bloody wars in Syria. And they're like, no, I want the war. No, I want the war. You know, and they will not let go. And we don't have to go back 25 years to find that. We find that today. This is, and we're looking at a World War III scenario that thankfully Donald Trump is trying to stop. And so everybody who's saying, well, Trump is Trump the good guy or the bad guy? Trump is the one. Trump is standing in the way of. And so every time you see these stories of, you know, what is the motivation for all of these attacks? The motivation is to remove the obstacle to this gross fantasy of final bloodlust that will, and if it explodes, you know, it's insane. Nobody who is sane would ever let this happen. But watch tonight. I will not be watching the Oscars tonight. But just wait. Tomorrow we're all going to hear how Michael Moore stood up and said, "Oh, the white helmets. Oh, the white helmets. They're so wonderful. Oh, we stand for truth. We stand for, you know, it's Donald Trump who's a fascist." And you're going to hear all of this Hollywood crap that's going to come through the whole week. And the whole purpose of this is to remove the obstacle to killing people, and that's my point.
Well, just to reiterate, Hosni Mubarak, who is a Muslim, was against Muslims. I mean, radical Islam. Certainly, Assad is, and the whole country of Iran is assisting Syria in getting rid of ISIS. The Hezbollah of Lebanon is assisting the Syrians in getting rid of ISIS, as well as the Russians. So there's a lot of Muslims in the world who reject and condemn the CIA invention of radical Islam.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it is a CIA invention. I understand what you're saying. The CIA have created this monster.
Al-Qaeda.
But it is a real monster.
It's a real, well, Wahhabism.
It is real.
Yeah, you're right.
And Wahhabism and the Salafists
in Saudi Arabia,
are real.
Wahhabism is real. And its offshoots are the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, which was invented by the British at the turn of the last century, near around World War I. And that the Muslim Brotherhood was a British invention.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're coming up
Not
to the break,
that,
everybody.
But
we're coming
the latest,
up to the break right now.
Latest.
We'll be right back, everybody, right after the break. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Covert Report. Susan Lindauer. We're on with Joe Calhoun today, and we're talking about the whole fiction. It's a Hollywood movie fiction that is being woven and spun and aggressively thrust at the American people. And it's a little bit annoying, but it's also pretty scary, because what we're seeing is this violent attack on truth and facts. And we're now in a debate over what is fake. And it used to be that fake was fake, but now we can't even agree on real fake, which is kind of bizarre. It's like a Twilight Zone. It's like we're down the rabbit hole. We're in Alice in Wonderland kind of. So what do you think about that?
Oh, well, this is really great, because it was I'm trying to remember several weeks ago, who coined the word fake news. It was the mainstream news media talking about programs like this and Alex Jones and the people who were basically coming out, not necessarily in strong in support of Trump, but people who were giving real facts, you know, street speaking truth to power.
Yes.
And
yes.
So they call us the fake news media, and this list of fake news media came from a organization in Ukraine, the country of Ukraine, which has been taken over by one of our coups, the Nazi junta. And so this list was given to the Washington Post as fake news sources. Okay, well, it's backfired, because now Donald Trump is using the term fake news to talk about CNN and MSNBC News and the New York Times. And now they're all crying because Donald Trump is using the term they invented to come back on them.
Exactly.
And Mika Brzezinski, this was this week, she said, Donald Trump is trying to tell us exactly what people should think. And Mika Brzezinski said, that's our job, is to control exactly what people think. Mika Brzezinski.
Yes. That's our job.
And then, Joe Scarborough chimed, you're right. He chimed in, you're right. And what did her father say about this? This is a quote by Zbigniew Brzezinski a long time ago. Shortly, the public will be unable to reason or think for themselves. They'll only be able to parrot the information they have been given on the previous night's news. That's her father. That's the guy that coined the term radical Islam. That's the guy under the Carter administration that helped organize Al-Qaeda with the CIA and bin Laden.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
These are the people that are the purveyors of fake news. And once in a while, and this doesn't happen often at all. In fact, it doesn't happen at all now, that sometimes these news outlets will actually go under the radar, and a producer will get out some real news, like the BBC documentary, The Power of Nightmares. It shows the origins of the Muslim Brotherhood, or the latest post-World War II re-radicalization of the Muslim Brotherhood, was actually started in Greeley, Colorado.
Really? What? Oh.
Yes.
How you're in Colorado? Tell. Do tell.
Who decried the the perversion of immorality of America, and he started the revitalization of the Muslim Brotherhood after World War II in Egypt. And he was the mentor to this guy by the name of, Al-Zarqawi? There's two of them. But the one that was that worked with bin Laden and organized the assassination of, not Mubarak, Sadat, was his direct protege. And this guy was a student at the Northern University of Colorado.
Wow.
In Greeley,
wow.
Colorado.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. But coming to the present, okay, there's so much going on in the present right now that I really want to focus on. And that is, you know, you mentioned Ukraine. You mentioned Ukraine, and we have the Mike Flynn takedown. Let's focus on that. That's such an important story as to, you know, they've tried to say that first of all, everybody, Mike Flynn did not break any laws. Right now in Washington, there's word that there's going to be a special that as of last night, there was on the news, on the local news, so you're probably not going to hear it till this week, that a United States senator has called for a special prosecutor to investigate Donald Trump and his ties to Russia. And so you're probably going to hear about that this coming week. They're trying to say that the media is trying to say that Trump somehow broke some kind of – they're trying to imply that something is hinky about Trump trying to get to the bottom of what is this story that the FBI and the intelligence community has on this this dossier. The dossier actually comes from Ukraine, okay? So it's Ukraine who put in all who put out this intelligence about Trump, and Trump investigated his longtime friend, I think his name is Michael Cohen. I know his name is Cohen. His last name is Cohen. It may be Michael Cohen, who I believe is his attorney. And he said to him, okay, they've made up a story that you were doing all these things in Ukraine. And he said, I haven't even been to – bring me your passport, and I want to see the passport to see where you were during this time that this whole event was supposed to be taking place. And it turns out that the man had a passport, and that the passport proves that he was not in Ukraine at all when any of these things happened. And so the Ukrainian intelligence had fabricated a story knowing that, and then they tried to say, oh, I guess it's a common name. I guess it was a different Michael Cohen. I guess that's not the man. Oh, gosh, we got the name wrong. Oh, you know, I'm not buying that at all. They had fabricated this wild, wild, wild lies. And it was all done before Trump won the election. Okay, it is all prior to Trump's election. So they thought they were going to help Hillary Clinton. It wasn't Russia that was helping Trump. It was Ukraine helping Hillary Clinton. And we have to make that distinction because the corporate media won't. The dossier that they're talking about on Russia comes from Ukraine. And it was before the election. They did not know Trump was going to win, and they were trying to help Hillary. So it wasn't Russia helping Trump. It was Ukraine helping Hillary. And they fabricated a whole bunch of wild lies, and now the FBI is investigating the wild lies. And what they should do is, well, I think what they need to do is put sanctions on Ukraine and just slam them. Just wipe out Ukraine and just freeze all their assets, deport some of their diplomats, and then tell them that when they stop the war in Ukraine, and when they go to a ceasefire for 120 days, then they can lift the sanctions. But they're going to have to – the problem is that Trump's got to do something big. He's got to take down these – because these people are so violent and aggressive and they're not – control, they're not pulling back anything. They keep using these dishonest media. They keep using these gross fabrications. And if I was Ukraine, I'd be, and John McCain, I'd be pulling back like crazy. I wouldn't let this stuff out there because it's criminal. It's felony perjury for these people to have made up this stuff. And they don't want to be held responsible in the U.S. courts because they're Ukrainian citizens over there. But it is a fake dossier that is circulated in the FBI and the intelligence community. So, you know, I think that really that Trump needs to hit Ukraine and say that when the war ends and there's a ceasefire for 120 days, then he'll take off the sanctions. Anyway, back to you, Joe.
I think so too, and I think the sanctions should have never been imposed on Russia.
Absolutely. You
know? Basically, what happened after the Nazi coup, in Ukraine, where in Odessa, everybody else that resisted this Nazi coup, well, that he said, decided, okay, well, then we're going to have our Maidan or our demonstrations ourselves against the coup. You know, so they were organizing unionists and workers in Odessa, you know, to have their own Maidan, their own demonstration outside with tents before the city hall. You know, I think it was the trade unions hall, actually, where they were pitching their tents and demonstrating against the coup on May Day. Around what is called Walpurgisnacht, April 30th, the Nazis, the Ukrainian Nazis, went in and destroyed the tents. These people all took refuge in the workers' the trade union hall. And what they did is the Nazis sealed the doors of that union hall and burned it down, burned people alive.
Yes.
They threw maids, they threw janitors, female janitors, pregnant, out of the window and killed them. Not even Amy Goodman covered this. No one covered this in the mainstream news media.
Yes.
And so this was a threat to the largely Russian ethnic population of Crimea. And Crimea had been part of Russia for a millennia. The only reason Crimea was part of Ukraine is because after Khrushchev liberated Kiev and Ukraine in World War II from the Nazis, he just, as the leader of Russia, ceded Crimea, which was historically Russia, to Ukraine for some reason. And so the Russians did not invade Crimea. In fact, under the previous government, the democratically elected government of Yanukovych, there was a treaty with Ukraine to have Russian bases in there. And basically, the military in Ukraine were Russians. And so after there was a major threat that these Nazis were going to overwhelm Crimea, you know, after they had the Nazi coup in Ukraine, the U.S.-sponsored coup in Ukraine, and basically promote violence like they did in Odessa. So the Russians came in to defend the people at their request, and then the people voted to rejoin Russia.
And that's correct.
We're perfectly fine with, Kosovo to vote to become independent, but when people vote to return back to their homeland, we call it an invasion. We call it Russia aggression. And that it was not the case. And actually, Donald Trump noted this. He said, it seems like the people in Crimea voted to return to Russia.
Exactly. Exactly, yes.
And one thing what Donald Trump to do, now that they got rid of Michael Flynn, is, with Hollywood, with this movie, Bitter Harvest, is to promote the mindset, the narrative, that we need to defend the Nazis in Ukraine against Russia.
Well, I think that this whole thing with Mike Flynn is actually, this is an intelligence war, is what's happened. They are, if we have a fight over Ukraine, it means World War III. It does, people, it does. They're trying to say it doesn't, but it does. And it would mean that we would have a bloodbath. It destabilizes the balance of power so much with NATO, and it's not even the European Union, which is collapsing. The European Union is on its last breath, and thank God for Brexit. Thank God for Marine Le Pen. Angela Merkel is backtracking from her support of the refugees. But our side is winning, and Trump, for all of the talk about Sweden, is actually, Trump was right. And once the corporate media, see, here's the thing, we have the social media, which now maintains the force of the global, of the corporate media, and we are able to fight back what they say, and we are able to push back, even on the immigration story. They wanted to pretend that all the American people were going to rise up in defense of the immigrants, and they're finding that the Democrats are finding the public support is not there for the policies that they want to push. It is not, the people do not support what the Democrats want. They do support what Trump wants. So they've given us, you notice that the Democrats have really kind of backing away from, they're backtracking on this story, but they're still going back to this, they're kind of hesitant in moving forward and back on the Russia story and the Ukraine story. But the Ukraine story is about an intelligence war. And this is the problem, that you have this crazy, you know, John McCain's, He's 80 something years. How old is John McCain? 80 something.
Oh, I don't know. He's at least my age or older.
No, he's 80. Seven. He's you're not 7. You're not 80 years old. Not by
not
a long shot.
But yeah. He's a Vietnam vet. I won't get into that, but there's stories about his fellow prisoners in Vietnam that are not very favorable to John McCain. They called him, what do they call him? The songbird. In other words, he was squealing on other prisoners in Vietnam. But I won't get into that.
Yeah.
But here you have Michael Moore supporting John McCain, Amy Goodman supporting John McCain, all these these so-called leftists supporting the neocons. And on the other side, you have people, this is really what they won't report on the news. You won't even see this touched on except maybe Fox News. Fox News did a report about Dennis Kucinich. You have Dennis Kucinich and Cynthia McKinney coming out in supporting Donald Trump. Marginally. I mean, they're not, you know, it's not that they love Trump. But against what Trump is facing, they have no choice but to support Trump against this deep state CIA coup, Soros coup against him that is they're trying to, actually they're trying to get Trump removed from office. It'll accumulate on May 1st, according to a former CIA agent, Robert Steele, former Marine.
Why is he saying May 1st?
May 1st is because the way the Soros, 52 organizations that financed the Women's March all over the world, they got a million women into D.C. But what they're going to do on May 1st is bus in 3 million people, not only to force Trump to resign or be impeached, but they're going to ravage the capital of the United States. I mean, the pictures I see on some of these websites shows the Congress being on fire, you know. They're going to, it's in, Robert Steele says the target date is May 1st. Well, May Day, you know, May Day, and then the day before that is Walpurgisnacht. Walpurgisnacht is a satanic celebration.
Well, I think that that's a little bit far-fetched, frankly.
Not for the Nazis.
Okay, that's for the Nazis, but I think that it's a little far-fetched. But yeah, but I do think that he's right that there is a coup, and there's a major protest scheduled for April 29th in Washington. And they have very carefully, get this, people, they have the anti-war groups petitioned to participate in this thing. Anti-war groups, they were turned down. They're having this rally, it's April 29th, that will represent LGBTQ, women, climate change, all this stuff, all the different, you know, animal rights, every possible form of activism except one, and that is anti-war. They have said that they will not include the word peace in the mission statement of the protest because they do not want to support peace.
That was the same Occupy movement. The Occupy movement bragged that they got rid of all the old-school left people who were anti-war. Because the Occupy movement put out a statement that they were inspired by the Arab Spring, by regime change. In other words, the Occupy movement supported the overthrow of Gaddafi, the overthrow of Assad.
Code Pink.
They supported imperialism. And they bragged about how they got rid of all these old-school leftists like me, and I'm a member of the Green Party, you know, to be involved in this Occupy movement. And these are the same, if you go Google Black Bloc, BLOC, Black Bloc, BLOC, you'll find out if you do get some articles about who's in the Black Bloc, there are these mostly rich, privileged white kids are in Black Bloc. They come out allegedly in support of Black Lives Matter and the whole identity politics issues, you know, LGBT, Black Lives Matter, and allegedly they're anti-capitalist, they're against Starbucks, etc. But these people...
Oh, anti-Starbucks? Wow!
Anti-Starbucks.
Ooh, anti-Starbucks.
Wow, I mean, yeah. But they're not anti-war. They're not anti-imperialist. They're for regime change. And they were for regime change, not in Muslim countries, but Muslim-dominated countries that were secular, like Libya.
Yes.
Libya had a Catholic archdiocese, where the Monsignor came out against the attack on Libya.
Yes.
Syria, where Assad protects the very region of, I can't remember the name of the language, but it's the language of Jesus Christ, you know, where there's Syrian Christians. And I helped with a tour of a Syrian nun, Mother Maria Agnes de la Croix, when she toured here in the United States, you know, to talk about how the U.S. is sponsoring death squads in the so-called Free Syrian Army, the moderates, to attack Christians, to do genocide on Christians. And in fact, in one of Trump's speeches, he said what Hillary has done in Syria to the Christians is equivalent to genocide.
Trump is a smart man. He's smart. He really does know what's going on.
But no, that and Michael Moore, and you can find this. Find Michael Moore's statement on Assad. Google Michael Moore Assad YouTube, and you'll find out Michael Moore right outside his apartment in the upper west side of New York City near the, West Side Veterinarian Center, comes out and calls for Assad to be overthrown.
Oh, yeah, sure, of course, because Hollywood is playing this crazy game. That's the whole point of, you know, why I wanted to do this kind of Oscar-themed show today, because even though, of course, I am not going to – I am – everybody, do not fear. None of my listeners need to worry that I'm actually going to watch the Oscars. But we all know that for the next week, we're going to hear this hysterical James Franco demands that Donald Trump resign. You know, we're going to hear this hysterics of the White Helmets. And just you remember that the White Helmets guy is a videographer for ISIS. And the White Helmets guy has been involved in videotaping slaughter and beheadings and truly horrific things. And we anybody with sanity should be find those people horrifying. Everybody, we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Covert Report with Susan Lindauer. I wanna go on talking about Mike Flynn and the removal of Mike Flynn and the whole Ukraine issue, if we can.
Okay. Well, according to Robert Steele, Michael Flynn overstepped his authority, and he was the
hold on now let's stop Robert Steele here. Who has more authority, the National Security Advisor? I think he has authority to do whatever he needs to do. The idea, I have to tell you, the idea that the National Security Advisor should not have communications with any foreign government is fairly absurd. It is. It's absurd. And in fact,
Robert Steele, he irritated, I think it was, what's his name, General Mattis for some reason. But that
was
a minor point, a very minor point.
That's speculation. I don't think that Robert Steele really knows. I think Robert Steele is speculating.
Okay. Well, in other words, this was a very minor point. It was confirmed by the FBI that Michael Flynn did nothing illegal. There was absolutely nothing illegal about what he did. And actually, Robert Steele thinks it was a mistake that Trump accepted his resignation.
I agree.
But what Michael Flynn was involved in, and this came out on Twitter the day he was forced to resign by Hillary Clinton. One of her aides during her campaign, and
you're going to talk about Pizzagate?
Yes.
Okay, that's not what this is about.
Essential.
Please, it's not about Pizzagate.
This is a fact. If you're not going to let me talk about facts, I won't talk about them, Susan. But this is a fact. This happened on the day. I saw it on Twitter by Hillary Clinton.
It's
not a fake account.
Okay, tell everybody what Hillary Clinton said.
Okay. Hillary Clinton was responding to one of her aides earlier when the pedophile story came out. Michael Flynn Jr. said something to effect, it was a rather innocuous tweet, it's not fake news unless it can be disproven, you know?
That's right.
About these stories.
There you go.
Well, he had
That's
to resign
true.
From the campaign of Donald Trump, Michael Flynn Jr. So then,
That's right.
When Michael Flynn resigned, one of Hillary's aides tweeted out, well, Michael Flynn must know what goes around comments. Like comments.
So what? Okay. But
around.
Okay. But that's not the, okay, but the reason
okay,
that he resigned has
Let
nothing to do with Pizzagate.
Let me finish. Hillary Clinton put that tweet in her own tweet. Well, Michael Flynn, she said, my aide has a nice way of saying that Michael Flynn became his own victim of fake news. This is
and the Ukraine story is fake news. That's why that is relevant, because the Ukraine story, that the whole bit about the it's a good point, because what happened was the Ukrainian dossier, which has nothing to do with Pizzagate. Ukraine did not put out any information about Pizzagate, but it is a reminder that sometimes we get distracted by things that are not relevant. His son should never have been forced to resign over that stupid Pizzagate thing. And I'm not saying there aren't pedophiles out there, but it does not have to do with Mike Flynn. Mike Flynn was supporting the Russian collaboration. And it is very much about the Cold War, the new Cold War mindset, which has nothing to do with Pizzagate. It is the new Cold War, the desperation, the nonsense desperation to keep these stories, to keep these, the whole mentality, the new Cold War moving, because it creates a reason for the defense industry to make money. And that's what it's about. And so when you bring in Pizzagate is the distraction and the diversion, which is what Hillary Clinton does all the time. You know, it's fake news because it's a diversion. It's completely irrelevant. It's completely, but it has nothing to do with this.
Ben Swan, a CBS correspondent, all his videos have been taken off the internet and Twitter. Ben Swan is a CBS correspondent out of Atlanta. Did a very good report on Comet Pizza. Very objective. It was censored by his own network.
But it doesn't have anything to do with Mike Flynn. It doesn't. Mike Flynn had nothing to do with it.
But Mike Flynn was going
it's a distraction, but it's a
people.
Distraction. It is a
no,
distraction
it's the tip
from
of the iceberg.
The issue.
The thing is that Comet Pizza is the tip of the iceberg. What the big iceberg is John Podesta, Anthony Weiner, and Uma Abedin. That's the iceberg. Comet Pizza.
It has nothing to do with Ukraine. It has nothing to do with Russia. It has nothing to do with Ukraine. Has nothing to do with Russia.
What?
Has nothing to do with.
No, no.
Okay,
it has
so
to
we're
do
on
with
a totally different subject.
And Mike and
but
Anthony
has nothing
Weiner,
to do with,
the list
but has
minor.
Nothing to do with Mike Flynn. Has nothing to do with Russia. Has nothing to do with Ukraine. It is why the Democrats are always successful. Because when something is going on the right hand, the Democrats and the members of politicians are very successful and effective in throwing out something that is completely unrelated and saying, oh, look, turn your eyes over there. And then everybody shifts their attention from the right hand to the left hand, and it's how they succeed every time. It has nothing
but Susan,
to do with anything.
But
it has
Anthony
nothing to
Weiner's,
do with it. But
wasn't
it has
his computer
with
confiscated?
Ukraine. But it has
by
nothing
the FBI?
To do with Ukraine. It has nothing to do with Ukraine. It has nothing to do with Russia. It has nothing to do with Syria. It has nothing to do with the Cold War. It is a complete distraction to the far reaches of the universe. It's like this distant star off in the galaxy that has pulled everybody's attention away from the real issues, which is they are marching to World War III. They are pushing for a war with Russia. They want the Germany, the whole Pizzagate thing is like a total distraction away.
And you're
from,
saying that with the WikiLeaks and Podesta emails are nothing. They're irrelevant.
With Mike Flynn, it has nothing to do with Mike Flynn. Has nothing to do with it. It has to.
But are you saying that those emails are irrelevant?
I'm saying that Russia had nothing to. Russia had nothing to do with it. Russia had nothing to do with leaking those emails. And
no,
the reason,
I'm not
and
saying
reason,
that.
Okay,
I'm talking about the Podesta emails in themselves.
I want to talk about the.
I'm not talking about who leaked them. I'm talking about them as facts. They are facts.
I don't care. It has nothing to do with the point that we're saying, the point that I'm making, which is so necessary for all of us to understand, is the way that they are manipulating us is to throw out, like, first we have, this is Hillary at her best. She's totally crooked, and she has, and DNC insiders leaked these emails. DNC insiders who were angry.
That's right.
Treatment of Bernie Sanders leaked these emails. So what does she do? She throws out, it's the Russians. And then the Russians go, and then they and the reason they want to take out the Russians is because the neocons are pushing this heavy narrative of World War III. They are terrified of the fall of the European Union. They're trying to keep money for the defense industry. To keep this, which is bankrupting us, that we are financially bankrupt. We don't have any money left, and the very last resources that we have to allocate between rebuilding America, which is Trump's America First vision. America First vision is we're gonna build highway, we're gonna build ports, airports, light rail. Bridges, dams, we're going to fix the infrastructure of the United States, because if we don't do it now, there's nothing left. And or we're going to spend money on Lockheed Martin. And Lockheed Martin is trying to keep its share value up as long as it can. Northrop Grumman, there are all sorts of small KBR, Kraft, all of this defense industry. They want the federal government is their best and probably only client. When it comes right down to it, Stratfor, private intelligence, is now trying to get business, trying to find people to buy subscriptions because their damn reputation has been so damaged. They don't get any business anymore from the regular people. They've been compromised. Okay. And that's what's happening throughout this whole industry. They know they're going down. And so Donald Trump is talking about America First, and he's going to put all this money into the American economy. Well, holy Christ, that would be a disaster if you're Lockheed Martin. So what do? They say Russia. Russia's attacked the elections. But then as soon as we start to look at the Russian story, they say, oh, Pizzagate. And it has nothing to do with Pizzagate. It has nothing to do with all these things. It comes back to, you know, you have to come back to the center. And remember, the DNC insiders leaked it. And yes, they're important. We should be talking about, but we need to realize the differences. Why are they going after Russia? Why are they? What are they doing? It is always a tactic of distraction and diversion. Every time you can count on them to do this, and why did they take out Mike Flynn? It has nothing to do with Pizzagate. It has to do with Mike Flynn trying to get the collaboration with Russia that would put an end, God forbid, put an end to the war in Syria. Uh-oh, that's a disaster. And Mike Flynn is going to stop the war in Ukraine. He's going to stop this. You know, we've got to have a new boogie monster. We need a new boogie monster desperately. And Russia, wouldn't it be great if Russia could be the new boogeyman? And Donald Trump won't let it happen. Donald Trump's like, you're an idiot. I'm not going to do that. So we have to, you know, we have to realize what their game is, because it is a game. It's a game.
Well, I will defer your audience to Google Putin's Christmas speech, because he warned that these people were going to organize against Donald Trump with a new Ukrainian-style Soros Maidan.
Yeah.
But his Christmas speech was amazing. And I'm not going to reveal the details of it.
No, tell the details. So we've got 12 minutes left in the show. Tell everybody the details.
Well, it's on Zero Hedge, one source. Vladimir Putin's Christmas speech, Russian leader criticizes Western countries for abandoning Christian roots and their morality. And another source is your Newswire, which I think gives the entire speech. But it's an amazing speech, and once you read it, you will know why the major news media, I mean, Putin is not Alex Jones. He's not, someone who has a podcast on the internet. This is a major figure in the world.
Of course.
And I'll just read the first paragraph here. I don't want to read the whole speech, but I'll read the first paragraph of this article. Vladimir Putin has used his annual Christmas press conference to accuse Western liberal elites of abandoning the traditional values that made their countries great instead of building a future based on solid Christian, or he actually said solid moral values. Western elites have created a culture of excessive, exaggerated political correctness that is so destructive it will lead to the downfall of Western civilization if it's not arrested.
Yeah.
And this is the leader of Russia. Okay, now he says many Western states have taken the way where they deny or reject their own roots, including their Christian roots, which form the basis of Western civilization. In these countries, the moral basis and any traditional identity are being denied. National, religious, cultural, and even gender identities are being denied or revitalized. I mean, this was a tremendous speech. And he says, the excesses and exaggerations of political correctness in these countries indeed leads to serious consideration for the legitimization of parties that promote the propaganda of pedophilia. So I just invite everybody to Google to see this speech. It's amazing. And there's not one news agency that would cover this at all. I think one source covered the fact that he warned what's happening in America after Trump will be inaugurated is that Soros and the powers that be will launch an American Spring, I think is what he called it, like the Arab Spring.
Exactly. That is the point.
And so this is the Ukraine connection, because that's Soros' landmark, is the overthrow of the legitimately elected government of Ukraine with a unelected Nazi junta. And I'm not talking this figuratively. These guys are not neo-Nazis. They are traditional Nazis that were involved in the coup in Ukraine. And Michael Flynn was an obstacle to all the neocons in the Republican, like John McCain and Lindsey Graham, who want to promote a war with Russia via Ukraine.
That's right. That is right. They want to promote a World War III scenario. That's what it is. War with Russia would be a global conflict. It would not be limited. That this is the fallacy and the fantasy of warmongers, that you're only going to have a limited conflict. What we're seeing is that the Syrian conflict creates the refugee crisis, which explodes all over Europe. We see that, and it explodes in Turkey, and it explodes in the Iraq war becomes the global Middle East war, which then the Syrian war becomes the Turkish and European wars. And then you have Ukraine, which would not be isolated. It is the most obscene delusion of all to think that the Ukraine war would ever stay isolated on Kiev. Kiev would be exploded. Kiev would be destroyed. I don't know why what they can't understand about that is that if there's a war, Kiev will be pounded to rubble, and they probably deserve it. Yeah, and that's where the problem is that these countries are doing these horrible things, and they deserve what they get. But if they get it, then the people get it. The government certainly deserves it. But remember, every time you drop a bomb, you kill some child. You kill a husband. You kill a family member. You destroy a school, a home, a shopping market. You destroy a hospital. The people who had nothing to do with this, who have no power to stop them any more than we have the power to stop that idiot John McCain, they're going to suffer like we would suffer. And they hate their government just as much as sometimes we hate ours. So is it really fair to punish us for the failures of our governor, of Maxine Waters?
Oh my God. She's like Joe McCarthy. The Russians did it. We need to impeach Donald Trump because he conspired with the Russians to hack our election. I mean, this is sad. I used to have great respect for these people. You know, they came out in demonstrations against George Bush, you know, in the Iraqi war, during the Iraq war, a war that Donald Trump was against, you know. And now, these people are siding with John McCain. They're siding with Lindsey Graham.
They're siding
with all these neocons against Trump. What happened? Did I wake up in a Twilight Zone episode and come into another, you know, world?
Yeah, a Twilight Zone. But the Democrats are bloodthirsty, and they are paying the young Americans, the millennials who are backing them, are bloodthirsty, and it is very much if George Soros gets his way, we could easily see a major war inside the United States because these people want power. And they're terrified of losing power, and they will, you know, they're quite capable of having, if they had the chance to have a coup, we could all end up in a war here in the United States. If they had the chance, they could easily push this, because they wouldn't stop themselves. They're so violent and vicious, they don't have the capability to control themselves.
Well, I tell you, I was on INN World Report on Thursday. And what Tom Kiley said is a lot of these things, like there were major events like in Arkansas, I think it was Arkansas with Tom Cotton, and other places in the country. And these people, you know, you call these town hall meetings, you know, congressmen do, to meet with their constituents. And usually people get in their cars if they want to go and go to the town hall meeting and have a conference. But at Tom, I think it was Tom Cotton's meeting, people were bussed in. They chartered buses. This doesn't make sense. This is not a grassroots type, meeting of your constituents. This is organized. And who pays for the buses? Give me a break. I'll let
George Soros.
I'll leave something to the imagination of your listeners. You know, these are staged events, and Tom Kiley said we're being gaslighted to believe these things are bigger than they really are. These are staged events to be promoted on the, I call it the Ministry of Truth 1984 media that we have, to make us give a sense that these things are major. And they're actually three or four large staged events in the country. In Denver, there wasn't anything that really happened here in Denver or Boulder. They tried to have these things go on, but nothing major has happened here.
Well, what happened? What happened in Denver and Boulder?
Well, they were trying to have a. They I think today or yesterday they had a fake town meeting with one of the Republican representatives, you know.
Did they have people turn out for it?
No, according to the news I got locally, there's been nothing about any major.
Okay, hold on. Okay, so they tried to, because here in D.C. yesterday they tried to have a healthcare protest as well, but again nobody was bussed in. When we called them out for bussing them in, they stopped the busing, and then they said they stopped the busing, and then they said, "Well, we have the events," and nobody showed up.
That's right.
And nobody showed up.
When they stage these events, it's called gaslighting. Gaslighting is a term using to make people freak out about something. You know, is that the title of the movie?
That's an old movie. Yeah,
It's where a man tried to marry his rich wife or something and tried to make her go crazy by adjusting the gas in the place.
In the house, yeah.
And that's what the mainstream media and the Ministry of Truth, the 1984 Ministry of Truth, which doesn't allow any dissenting comments on their programs, are trying to do, is gaslight us to believe that these events are a much larger phenomenon in this country than they are.
Everybody, we're at the end of the show, but on that note, I want to add something. There has been a study of the IP addresses on the on the supporters of Obamacare. Apparently, 60% of all the on social media, 60% of the pro-Obamacare posts on social media are coming from 100 profiles with sock puppets, okay? 100 basic IP addresses with sock puppets attached, with extra sock puppets, okay? And they're based out of the Pacific time zone. They work from 9 to 5 Pacific time, and that's all of the posts that you're seeing across social media. And they're paid people. They're paid on Twitter and Facebook. They're coming, and they're using fake identities, but they're 100 people, 60% of the pro-Obamacare. And when you take away those people, when they're not there to working 9 to 5 paid for their work, there's nothing coming from the ordinary people. So we need to call these guys out. Because they're trying to manufacture a fake. They're definitely manufacturing a fake.
They're doing the same thing with Delphic accounts on Twitter. They're fake accounts. You look at these people that make these commentaries or start attacking you, and they have what, 10 followers?
Yes.
You know, they're fake. They're one person having 100 accounts.
Exactly.
What Twitter is doing to their contribution is that they are censoring critical tweets that have information.
Okay, everybody, sorry, we're at the end of the show. Take care, everybody. Joe, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. See you on anytime.
Okay.